Welcome to the Pickup Korea podcast, and today I have a special guest. He's actually a student who just finished the immersion program. We did it for around 4 weeks, 8 sessions, and little daily challenges. We had him record his sets, his dates, and everything. So he's a guy who's flown here from New York. He's been interested in Korean girls and has done coaching, you know, in different cities and everything, but it's his first time doing a program like this in Korea, so I thought it would be really good to bring him on. Compare and contrast maybe other styles, other cities. So Mr. Mike, maybe you can introduce yourself a little bit and your background.
Yeah, so I got into kind of pickup and game way back in 2013, 2014, just, you know, lurking around Reddit forums and stuff like that. R Seduction, shout out to them. And I've also done like a lot of boot camps and training. So I did everything from, you know, the boot camps with, you know, where they took you to the club with like four other guys, and they would give you lines to do. And, you know, it was really cringy, but, you know, you had to get out there. And I've also done like individualized coaching where it was just me and a coach, and we would also, you know, go out and do sessions. But, yeah, this one was definitely very different. I learned a lot this time around.
Okay, cool. So I know that you have a lot of experience gaming out in New York City, and that's a really big American city, one of the biggest, you know, in the Western world of things, right? And Seoul, this is a huge city. It's like a 20 million people mega metropolis, also one of the bigger cities in the world, but on the other end, right, on the east, so the Asian side of things. So a lot of people, you know, they ask me like, what are the differences, you know, gaming Korean girls versus Americans or Europeans, or they have all these kind of weird preconceptions, like they're going to come to Korea and immediately like slay it. They're going to come here, it's going to be easy. And then almost all these guys, regardless of their experience level in America, they come here and it's just blowout after blowout. I'm going to, you know, pack up my bags, head to Manila, to some sort of easy mode third world place, right? So it'd be good to get your perspective, because you kind of had slightly more of a realistic expectation, but yeah, just what you experienced here with the local girls.
Yeah, so I mean, like you said, I've been interested in coming for a long time, so I'd done my research and I already knew that it was going to be very different, but even experiencing it was definitely like, I would say not a shock, but definitely like a reality check. So the biggest thing is definitely that in America and in a lot of the Western worlds, like South America too, girls will show you whether they're interested or not within almost seconds, you know, like, especially because like there's such a culture of like flirtation and drinking and hookups in America. So girls are just, they have a lot more of a script of how to show you whether they're interested or not. And in Korea, you come here and especially the more attractive the girl is, the more subtle her reaction is. And like most girls who are into you will, the only thing they'll do is just kind of tilt their head a little bit and listen to you. And that in Korea means like you're basically in, or at least you have like the space to keep talking and like get to know her. But if you're looking for, so when we first started, one thing that I kept doing was I would say an opener and then I would just kind of wait, you know, I would just stand there and wait for them to start investing or say something to me. And, oftentimes they didn't. And you were telling me like, no, they're not going to give you that. You just have to keep going and you have to kind of lead the conversation, show them where you want it to go. So that's definitely the biggest, shift. Also, one other thing is like, I think in a lot of Asia, even if a girl can speak English, sometimes she doesn't really want to. So like typically, like when I'm talking to a girl now, she might tell me, it's almost guaranteed that most of them will tell me I'm not really good at English. Even if they are, they just want to set expectations that they're not going to be like, you know, basically like whizzing the SAT or something like that. They just want to set your expectations low. So a lot of girls will just be shy about speaking English. But as long as you speak slowly and enunciate and kind of just don't be too reactive to anything they say, then most conversations can just go through. I mean, I even, you know, the first time I pulled from Daegan the same day poll, that was basically done through Papago, and we barely spoke, or we didn't speak that much.
Okay, cool. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of differences, and you just really got to go out there to feel it out and see what the differences are, right? And so, one thing I definitely want to ask you is like, what are some sticking points that we discovered on the program? What are some things maybe that you thought were your sticking points that weren't that bad, or some other things that you didn't even realize? Like, that's what I find a lot of the times is when students come to me or they're on a program and they analyze their interactions, their dates. They always say, "Oh, I think this was the problem, or that was the problem." And they write these field reports or these, comments or whatever. And then I go back and I actually look at the interaction, face to face, or I listen to it, and it's totally a different thing that they weren't even really able to analyze or see. That's why they call them blind spots, right? So it's very useful to have a coach who's experienced to actually see these things that you're not even able to pick up on, right? So maybe we can go over like what kind of sticking points arose and how did we address them and things like that, right?
Yeah, so it's funny you ask that. I think if you had asked me what I thought my sticking point was, I definitely would have said that, oh, I can get like your typical girl, but I can't get like a super hot girl. The quality of the girls that I was getting was not good enough, which is technically true, but it wasn't like a sticking point. It wasn't like, that was just a cause. And then we were able to find like the symptoms of that. So the first thing was even just off the open. I think around a third day working together, you just noticed that I was like basically barraging the girls with questions. It kind of made sense to me because it's like these girls were shy, and I felt like, what do people do when you ask them a question? They stop and they answer it, right? But what I didn't realize was like asking all these questions, it was totally setting the wrong frame. It was like setting this frame where I'm just kind of taking value or like making it really hard for the girl to participate in the conversation. And basically, we made this challenge for me where I had to do nothing but make statements when I went out. And the first day that I did this, and also like to be more assertive with my statements. So, along with the questions, I was doing a lot of up talk. So all my questions were going up. My opens were kind of like not loud enough and not firm enough. Everything was kind of a question mark. And then so the first day when I went out, I was like so terrified to make this change. And I was sweating. I was literally in the bookstore like trying to talk to a girl and sweating from how hard it was to not ask questions. And I'm sure like a lot of them thought I was weird the first day because the way, adjusting to that was so difficult for me that my conversations didn't even feel natural. They felt like I was like reading off of a book or something. But then I think the day where it really shifted was it was like maybe the next day after that, and I was like, dude, this is not gonna work. This is so hard. And you're like, just stick with it. You're unwiring. And that was one thing, right? We texted a lot during the whole program, just like going back and forth about lessons. But then the next day, I remember I was doing it, I was feeling more comfortable. And then I saw this super hot girl. She was wearing like these neon green shoes and this like fitness spandex, and she was just super hot. And I remember being like, why not? I just ran up to her and just started, throwing statements at her. I was like saying, oh, you look like a yoga teacher. You look like you're really big into fitness. You look like you play golf. I don't remember. I was just like saying different things. But, instead of like getting like, instead of being weirded out or anything, she was actually appreciating it. She didn't stop and talk to me, but she definitely did that thing where she started listening to me. And I just felt like there was more of a mutual respect there. And so seeing that kind of like shift from being this guy who was like basically almost like pleading with girls to stop and talking to me, and then turning into someone who was like more assertive and more clear about what he wanted. It felt really good intuitively, and then it also got better results. And then I think from that point moving forward, even if I got rejected or blown out, I never felt that bad about it because I knew that I was at least coming from the right frame.
All right, cool. Yeah, that's definitely one thing that I noticed about you and a lot of people that I coach is initially it's also like how you say something, right? So I remember you approaching girls and I remember saying like, you're approaching them like you're the secretary or like this beggar with this tone, like, oh, please listen to me. What are you doing? You know, this sort of tone, like it's pathetic and desperate to get their attention. Or I'm like, man, you're the CEO. You got to approach them like the CEO, have the mindset like a CEO, talk like a boss would talk, right? Rather than this sort of, you know, up talk, as you would say, right? And then also upon hearing your recordings, which I could hear in detail, it was like the ratio of questions to statements was just so, you know, skewed. It was like 90% questions. And you know, it's a lot more common than you would think. Like a lot of guys, it's intellectually lazy to do that. And it's the easy way out rather than talking about what you're up to and your day and what your plan is and what you notice about her and staying present in the moment, right? And so, yeah, once you have that sort of frame where you're out and about on your day and you're just bringing them into your reality, right? Things really change from there instead of the other way, sort of like trying to weasel your way into what are you doing and interviewing her or something, right? And so, yeah, definitely a big shift. Since I haven't taken my own coaching or really any other coaching, although I've gamed with a lot of naturals and guys that I learned a lot from, right? Maybe you can explain like what is a coaching session like together and a little bit about your experience in the coaching sessions too.
Yeah, so a typical session with you would be like, we would meet up at a coffee shop. We would debrief a bit too, and just talk about like how the previous numbers went, how the dates were going. You know, if I had set up any dates, we'd go through some text messaging too. You'd always like give me some tips on what to text next or how to, you know, follow the funnel. And then from there, based on like what I was feeling stuck with, or maybe like what I said that I wanted to learn, we would like kind of set a objective for the day of something to drill in or something to get done. So like, for example, you know, quite a few of the days, I think we were working on just setting the right frame and getting the right tonality in. And then after a while, we were also doing sessions where, you know, I felt like I wanted to go through more of the interaction. So we started doing like same day polls and stuff like that. And then also that was like a good way for us to, you were trying to show me, you know, what types of girls are available or like how to judge from their body language and vibe. Like, cause that's actually really important in Korea. Like you have to know what a girl is up to. There's a lot of different situations, like waiting for a guy, just got off work, on a lunch break, you know, and there's a kind of a different way you have to calibrate to each situation. So we're basically drilling that in as well. And yeah, like I would say one way that it's really different from boot camps that I've done in the past is, well, one is that we were, like I said, like we were texting pretty much the whole time. Just like you would even send me like girls that you were gonna bang or date, and that was kind of fun too, because it's like getting some you know, inspiration from that. And then another thing was like there was very little like, I guess, woo-woo stuff. You know, there was like, we would talk about self-improvement, I would say, was like, because like mindset is so important for game. If you don't have the right mindset, you're just not going to last. But you know, a lot of it was also just like real world practicality and like actual like physical techniques. You know, it kind of reminded me of like Kobe Bryant like drilling basketball. You know, you would practice the layup, the three-pointer, and we would actually go through like the physical movements and also like adjust the mindsets to execute things correctly. And that's such a big part of game that like I feel like a lot of people don't talk about, especially nowadays where a lot of it's just kind of like, oh, get in state, or you know, just yell at people until they, you know, listen to you, something like that. But getting the right techniques down and understanding the social context of things is really big as well.
Yeah, definitely. That's a pretty good summary, I would say. Another thing is we went out, like during the course of the immersion, we went out quite a bit together. And I know you've taken other coaching and other programs, and I've met all these other instructors. And, you know, some of them are good, some of them, you know, no comment or whatever. But a lot of them, you know, they don't even really go out, or they're not even really that good, or they don't even really approach to demo stuff that they're talking about. Like, it's like some sort of book knowledge, or they learned a lot on the forum, or they claimed to be good a long time ago, or you know, maybe they were good or are, but they just kind of lost the passion for it. So they're just doing it as part of a marketing funnel or whatever, where when you're with me, it's like you can feel the passion, you can feel the excitement, you can see me do whatever I'm teaching live, right? So like I mentioned earlier, one way I got better was like hanging out with guys that were just naturals and good, and other guys who were like pickup dudes but really good, and I would kind of pick their brain and watch them, you know, visually learn by osmosis or learn visually, right? So maybe you can talk about a little bit of the experience going out together and then watching me or seeing, you know, the kind of girls. I don't have the looks matched to the kind of girls that I'm usually like approaching or dating or what have you, right? So yeah, maybe talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think on our maybe first or second session, you were like kind of telling me some story about some like famous person that you'd banged. And I think I said to you like, oh, well, you know, it's good. It's like reassuring to hear that foreigners can actually do pretty well here. And then you told me like, no, but that's because I'm a freak. Like I'm like a freak of nature. Like I just like go at this harder than anyone else. And I mean, yeah, it's really rare actually, I think, to see somebody at your level and still like consistently putting in the same amount of effort. It's like crazy work ethic combined with like, just like, you know, just thinking about it all the time. And you're definitely still like, you know, some people think that they have it all figured out and they don't want to learn anymore, but you're still in that like mindset of like always growing and like adapting and learning and stuff. So it's pretty inspirational, honestly. But yeah, we definitely gamed a couple of times, even like when it wasn't part of a session, like we would just, you know, meet up or get dinner and meet up with other guys in the area and just go out. And yeah, seeing you game, I think, and there was this one night too, we went out like just night game, and that was really interesting too, because I think that night we were both doing a lot of approaches. And I think like, I even saw you get blown out like a number of times, I think way more than people who don't spend a lot of time with you would expect. Like maybe if they just read your blog or if they just heard about you, they wouldn't expect you to get blown out. But I mean, it's just like anybody else, you know, but the difference was like seeing you. I mean, there were certain interactions where like there was one in particular, the one outside the convenience store, where a girl was like about to walk away from you and you like you like caught her attention like the second before she would have done that. You just kind of threw in a statement. You even like kind of turned your body away for a second just to like make her feel like the conversation was over, but then you like looped her back. And that was crazy to see, because like I know a lot of people would have like either been too aggressive or would have just given up, and then it's just like just the like a fisherman like reeling her back in, you know. And then it was also like interesting to see you approach, because I feel like you were really, really good at judging, you know, the dynamics of, say, a group at night, like what kind of vibe they're in. And you would always approach at kind of the right moment so that it looks really smooth and not like you're interrupting or bothering them. And I think especially in like a crowded city like Seoul, it can be really easy. Like this happened to me so many times. Like I'd be trying to approach a girl and there'd be just so much foot traffic, and I would just be kind of like, you know, dancing around her trying to get in. And for you, you would a lot of times judge that distance well, which I think just comes from experience. But that was such a big part of like making the interaction smooth. Just, I would say like watching you game, it was just very natural, kind of like it just happened kind of vibe. Like the girls never felt like they were getting inconvenienced or like stopped in any way. It was just kind of very natural, like two people just happening to meet.
All right, one thing I think would be good to talk about is that I remember initially early in the program you mentioned how you come off as a nice guy, and you know, girls always say you're friendly and whatnot. And one thing that I think is important is to record your dates and then, you know, review them. And even if you review them yourself, you might not be able to figure this out, but having somebody who's experienced, who's gone on 1,000 dates or whatever it. And so I was listening to your dates, and I remember asking you to record them, and you kept putting it off and putting it off. I'm like, no, man, you're gonna have to record this so you can get the actual feedback that's gonna make, you know, troubleshoot, so you can troubleshoot for future dates, right? And so one thing that I remember listening to your first or second or third one, I don't remember, but like after everything the girl said, you just kept laughing. It was like, oh, you like ice cream too? Ha 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 ha. Oh, New York? I've been to New York too. Ha ha ha. And it was like this stuff that the girl was saying or you were saying wasn't even funny, but you were laughing to break tension. And yeah, don't get me wrong, there's a place to smile or there's a place to laugh when you're making a joke or a little tease or whatnot, right? But I noticed with a lot of guys, they smile or laugh because they're uncomfortable with silence and with being, you know, in the moment and building tension and sort of breaking rapport. And it's like, I don't want to lose her. I want to keep this pleasantry, right? And so it's definitely a big thing. And it sounds counterintuitive when I tell some students like, oh, you should stop smiling or like stop laughing, right? It almost sounds like, what the hell? Like, who, you know, that's against society or against, she's going to think I'm a freak or something. But actually cutting those things builds the tension, allows there to, you know, the tension to be built. So maybe you can talk about that.
Yeah, so that was actually the other big thing that we were working on during this immersion was just realizing that, and so to be honest, like when you were like, hey, record your dates, you know, I felt a little bit defensive because I was like, what do you mean record my, like my dates are fine. You know, I don't need help with my dates. Cause it's like, you know, I think it's a point of pride for like most guys that have, at least I've been on a lot of dates. So I never assumed that there was anything wrong with them. I mean, sure, a lot of them I didn't close and a lot of them I didn't have sex on, but I just assumed that that was like, you know, maybe the girl wasn't in the vibe or maybe something went wrong or I don't know. But yeah, I think after you listened to one of my dates, it was this girl from a coffee shop, really cute girl actually. You know, she was like a college student and she had kind of opened me while I was buying coffee and we exchanged numbers. And when we met up, it was like kind of a afternoon date, but I remember you told me, and this really sunk in, you were like, listening to this audio is like listening to the audio of a guy that has a 0.01% chance of getting laid. You're like, I can just tell from listening to this audio that this guy, whoever he is not getting laid. And I was like, yep, that was right. Like I definitely didn't get laid. And there was like one specific thing where, you know, I think she had told me that she liked Friends. And then I was like, oh, wow, nice. Friends, like, which character do you like and stuff like that. And then you were like, Friends, I hate Friends. Like, fuck that show. And like Seinfeld is better. And that also made me realize that was like another thing we talked about. It's like dates should be both positive and negative energy. You shouldn't just be constantly like trying to win her over. Or I think in my mind, I was trying to make sure that the girl always had a good time so that it could feel like, you know, at the end of the date, she was like, oh, it was a great time. Like I had a lot of fun. And maybe they did think that, but as friends, not as like, you know, not with any chemistry or tension. So that was definitely a big thing, just laughing and breaking tension too much.
Yeah, there's a lot of people, you know, coming here from overseas, and I get a lot of emails and, you know, consults from guys overseas. So, you know, now that you came from like a background gaming in New York City and in America, and then now having this experience here, if you were to maybe ask yourself or tell yourself something, your past self who, you know, wasn't here yet, like if you can give a little few tips or just the other guys who are coming here, like what kind of stuff would you tell them to look out for or recommend them or whatnot, right?
Yeah, so I would say definitely, especially in any city that you don't know, logistics is key. So you have to live somewhere where, you know, it's just not complicated to figure out. I mean, most neighborhoods, if you live there for long enough, you can figure it out. But why like make it more difficult for yourself when you've just gotten here and there's so much to process, so much to learn? Why add that extra layer of complexity? So I was living in this neighborhood called Myeongdong at the time when I first came here. And you were like, no, don't live there. That place sucks. Like, just go to Gangnam. So I did. I went to Gangnam, and it definitely made things a lot easier. So that's the first thing. Just figure out the logistics, whatever makes sense, especially during COVID. And then the second thing I would say is like super valuable meeting people in whatever city, like people who already know the lay of the land. They know like what are the good places to go. Like usually it would be like what bars to go to, but right now like you and like some of the people you introduced me to just gave me so many tips on like places to take girls or places, good places for dates or just good places to hang out and even do work and stuff like that. And that made life like so much easier because like you can't really find that stuff online. Like nobody's really like on Reddit discussing that. So the best place is to just make some friends locally or like, you know, work with someone who's like a coach in that area. And then, yeah, I guess the other thing I would say is, I think I had this assumption when I first came here that it wouldn't even be worth the effort to go after like the hottest girls. But actually I was really surprised. I mean, my opinion here could be up for debate because I didn't actually, you know, hook up with any of them, but, you know, approaching like hot girls, like that one we met at that Chipotle, it just went a lot better than I would expect a lot of times. And so I would say like, you know, even when they're really attractive, just don't be intimidated by that because it's still, you know, somewhat achievable if you're just following the right steps and you're not like, if you're like, you know, being culturally sensitive and you're like doing things the right way, like you'll get a lot farther than you think.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. So yeah, the final session we had, we went over some final notes. I made like a list of sort of like demon finders or things to keep at bay, right? Demons to keep track of and, you know, not let them take control of you, and then like stuff to work on, future challenges and, you know, to keep going after the program's over. So yeah, I'm kind of curious, like, what are your plans after this and what will you be working on after this?
I think the biggest thing for me is to keep drilling in the things that we worked on. So specifically not asking so many questions and then like being a lot more assertive and basically masculine during not only the opens, but during dates as well. And then I think another big thing is like, you know, when you're in an immersion program, it's really easy to stay consistent because you have someone basically texting you every day being like, you better get a date today, or did you go out today? Are you out right now? Because like it's a super nice day and you're like lying in bed and you're like, oh, I better go out. And but when you don't have that accountability, I think that, you know, the consistency is the biggest thing by far. And if I don't like, I just definitely need to stay consistent and like put in those reps. And honestly, I'm very excited to go on more dates and kind of come at it from this new frame. Cause you know, when you do things wrong, even if you don't know they're wrong, it doesn't always feel good. You know, you don't feel right in your body because you know that you're not really acting with honest intentions. So I'm pretty excited to go on dates. I'll probably enjoy them more if I'm just, you know, actually speaking my mind and not just trying to charm or win a girl over all the time.